Our tips today are going to have so much value. Hey, everybody, I'm Kelly Wilkness here with Anita Joyce, and this is Decorating Tips and Tricks. Today, we're talking about what really adds value to your home now. And your home is your biggest investment, so you might want to spend some money improving it, renovations, adding some extras, but you definitely going to want a return on your investment. And today, we're going to be talking about what will really add value to your home in the current market and give you that return on investment that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And there's also the perspective of having personal return on investment. If you're in a home that you know you're going to be in for a very short period of time, you're going to want to be more aware of the amount of money that you're putting in with what you can expect to get back out of it. But if you're in the home for a long term, then you might have a lot more flexibility. You might be willing to spend a little bit more because you're going to get a personal return on investment, which is so important in your home. You know, even if somebody down the line doesn't like what you did, you've had years to enjoy it, and that's fine. So that's an important value asset as well.
Well, I think buyers are looking for flexibility and they want the space to feel good. And you kind of touched on this already, but any of these updates you're doing, you want to keep them kind of generic if you're going to be selling your home soon. You want them to appeal to a broad audience. But if it's something that you're planning to be in your house for a long time, then you can have something maybe a little more specific to your particular taste, a little more niche.
Yeah, and there's definitely been a shift. You know, talking about COVID, but it's so true, especially yeah. in the home design, renovation, and sale space. And also just the way that everyone looks at their home. Been a huge shift based on everything that we've all been through in recent years and the way people see their home, the way they live in their home, and then consequently, what they'd be looking for in a home that they would be purchasing. And I 100% agree. People are looking for flexibility. They want the home just to feel good and have it sort of be balanced for their lifestyle. So whether that means working at home or if that means having maybe older relatives coming in living with you, there's all sorts of things that people are needing their homes to do now that they didn't need them to do 3 or 4 years ago.
And here's some information I found. A statistic, a well-maintained home gets 10% more when you sell it than one that's just in average condition, according to Thumbtack Research. So there's a statistic for you. 10%, depending on what your house is worth, could be a lot of money.
Yes, and that is really in the easier realm of just doing some tweaks and maybe some great decorating and just sort of styling it nicely. And we're definitely going to talk about that today. How could we not? But maybe we can kick it off with some of the bigger things. So if you're thinking about renovating, extending, increasing your home, I'd think long and hard about that. It's obviously going to require a lot of money, so a pretty big investment, and you're probably going to have to deal with permits and contractors and all of that. So you want to really think about, is increasing the square footage going to have the return on investment that you want? And it may, but you have to really take it in the balance with all these other factors. Of course, if you double the size of your home, it's probably going to be able to sell for a lot more, but it depends on the neighborhood. It depends on how well the work is done. And it depends upon, again, how much money you're putting into it to get that work done.
Do you remember about a month ago, we had a client who wanted to do extensive work on her home. And we talked about, well, why don't you just sell it? It was so much work. We felt like, you know what, you really should just sell this and buy a new house. But she said, actually, the location worked with their work life, with their jobs, and it was close to a park for the kids. And so in her case, I think it made sense just to stay there and make those renovations. And she felt like that the neighborhood would handle that in that she would get her money back.
If you're thinking that you need more space, maybe think about first, how can you use the space that you have better? Can you reconfigure to have the home, live larger, and still have the same footprint and give you the space that you need for whatever that is, a home office, a gym, another bedroom, you have a baby coming, something like that. So are all the spaces that you have in the current footprint being used to their fullest potential? Can you figure out how to carve a space out? Do you have a basement that is unfinished? Do you have an attic that you could maybe go into and put some dormer windows or something like that? Do you have one of those bonus rooms? I had never heard that phrase before growing up on the East Coast. And then friends of ours were moving down to the Carolinas and various places around the country. And all of a sudden I kept hearing, and it has a bonus room. I was like, what goes on in there? That sounds interesting. And oftentimes it's not really an attic space, but it is sort of upstairs and maybe it's got a dormered ceiling or something like that. So it maybe wouldn't be perfect for a bedroom for someone who's sleeping in there all the time, but that's a great home office. That's a great extra bedroom for a guest or something like that. Somebody's not in there all the time. So is your bonus room filled with Christmas bins or your cast off decor that you're not using right now? Think about the space that you have and how you can use it better.
Such a smart thing to think about, because adding onto the square footage of your house is going to be one of the most expensive things you can do. And if you just look at the space you have, there might be a way to add a bedroom or make a bedroom bigger, depending on what you need, without increasing that footprint of your house. So I so agree with that. And I did want to go into a few things that you could do. Let's say if you just wanted to do something small to just kind of sell your house right away, according to Zillow, these are some of the best things that you can do. I just wanted to go through a few of these. One is to replace your garage door. So that one has a massive return on your investment. And I would say if your garage door looks bad, if it looks great already, then I wouldn't go bother doing this. Another one they mentioned was stone veneer. Has a great return on your investment. Minor kitchen remodels, replacing your siding with hardy plank siding. Also, that one's getting a little more pricey, but that one's got a very good return on your investment. At replacing windows and adding a deck. Those, according to Zillow, are some of the best things you can do to get your money back.
And interesting that most of those would be under the curb appeal category. So curb appeal is so important. I mean, that's going to be the first impression before anybody even walks in the door. So if you've got the outside looking great, I don't think you're going to get a big return on the landscaping, because landscaping costs more than people think it does. But here's the thing about it. You might get somebody to come in who wouldn't have come in. If the outside looks bad, they might just do the drive-by. And, you know, to harken back to the beginning of the episode, we are not just talking about people that are ready to sell their home. These are all type of things that you have to think about when you're doing any kind of renovation, expansion, improvements in the home that you're living in, because you don't want to be in a situation where you pour a ton in and it's someday down the line, even if it's 20 years later, you're not getting the return on your investment, or you've made choices that you really aren't going to carry forward as time progresses. So these tips are for absolutely everyone in any state. Even if you're thinking about buying a home, these are things you want to think about too, because you'd be purchasing a house that has or does not have these things, and maybe someday you're going to want to sell that. Increasing the bathrooms. Research shows from real estate agents that you can increase the value of your home by about 5% if you add a bathroom. Now, that could be a powder room, that could be a wonderful ensuite off the main bedroom, or this could just be something that you tuck in under the staircase, like a teeny tiny little tiny powder room, but it's still going to allow them to list your home with another bathroom, and that is going to put you in a different category. I think the number of bathrooms and the number of bedrooms tend to historically tick up the value of the home.
Bathrooms are really critical, because I remember growing up, there was one bathroom. We would come home from a trip and everyone would sprint into the house to see who was going to get to that bathroom first. So, you know, It's tough living with just one bathroom.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they are saying if you have four bedrooms, minimum of two bathrooms in your home. And I would imagine most homes now, either they've been built that way or they've been renovated to include another bathroom. You definitely still want to have a bathroom with a tub. There's a little controversy about that because there are so many other options now. But I think that having the one tub is appealing and you're going to not exclude certain buyers. And it also is nice to have a tub. Maybe you're not a tub taker these days, but who knows? Maybe down the line you will be. And maybe you'll get some dogs and you want to put them in there, or maybe you'll have some extra kids and you'll have to put them in there. So it is a good thing to have a tub. So I would have one bathroom that has a tub, but tucking in a little powder room, you could tuck one under the staircase. There isn't a lot of room needed just to put in a toilet and a small sink. You can do a little wall hanging sink. Tiny little spaces can accommodate this. And you should check with your, either have a plumber come in and kind of get an assessment and maybe an estimate of the work that needed to be done, and just find out how far these items need to be from each other, because there is code on how far the sink has to be from the toilet. They have to have a certain amount of space around them. So check with that in your local area to make sure, if you're trying to squeeze something into a small little space and add value to your home in that way, that you actually have enough room to do it.
Well, it's so interesting you mentioned the tub, because back in the day, a full bath was considered so far superior to what was considered a three-quarter bath, and that's a bathroom with a shower only. And so that was a real negative if you did not have a tub in a bathroom. Because again, it wasn't even really called a full bath. But these days, there's so many nice, large walk-in showers that I really think in most cases that's preferred for a guest room, to have a walk-in shower. And I think you're not going to be hurt by that as long as you have at least one tub in the home, because you're right, there might be a situation where somebody needs to soak or you need to wash the dog. So it is really nice to have at least one.
You could even do a wet room now if you have a really small space. There's the shower is just sort of in the middle and everything gets a little wet. That's how my girls take showers anyway. I think they invented the wet room, because I know there are glass doors. There's all sorts of things. But somehow, I don't know, they have to get out and check their phone or something. But there's water everywhere all the time.
Yes. That's not good. Onto another topic, paint. We always talk about how magical paint is and how it transforms things. Well, nothing is more true of that than when you are looking to add value to your house. Fresh paint is so wonderful for you to enjoy, and if you're thinking of selling sometime soon. So I looked again at the research here, and white kitchens, no surprise here, those sell the best. This did not surprise me. I think white is king for those cabinets if you're wanting to sell your house. The bathrooms, believe it or not, did best that were painted blue.
People just want to hang on to that ocean theme, that beach
that
theme
that
for the
is?
Bathroom. I don't know. Maybe it is a remnant of that. If there's a conch shell and the walls are painted blue,
you're at the beach. For the other rooms, they want neutral walls, gray, beige, greige with white trim. Now, I'm not saying you should paint your house these colors. I'm just saying if you're planning to sell soon, these are probably your best bets. But if you don't want your house that color, then paint it another color. Enjoy your house. Life is too short to be constantly doing every single little thing just on the off chance you might be selling soon. Paint it whatever color you want. Enjoy it. And then when you get ready to sell, if it's a crazy color, then think about painting it one of these colors.
I went to a client's yesterday, and she's a renter. She rents this darling little cottage. It was actually one of those Sears kits. At the turn of the century, Sears made these house kits. It is so darling. And she's been a longtime renter, and she doesn't think she's going anywhere. And the landlord was like, the paint looks fine, you know. It didn't really look fine. It didn't look terrible, but it didn't look fine. So I had her paint the entire inside of her house. And what a difference. It didn't really look bad, but it just wasn't fresh. Mm-hmm. And now she did, well, you know, my faves, Simply White. And then she did a wall in her bedroom, Kendall Charcoal. So she's definitely drinking the decorating tips and tricks Kool-Aid on the colors. And oh my gosh, Anita, it looks spectacular. It just changed the whole feel of the home. It just feels so fresh and clean, and it feels lighter and brighter.
Mm. Apparently, I need to paint my dining room. We were having Christmas dinner. We had guests mm-hmm. over right in the middle of the meal. Evie chose that point in the meal to point out to me, did you know, Mom, that the paint is peeling off the wall?
Oh, gosh.
Right in front of the guests. I'm like, well, congratulations. You've just ruined Christmas. I didn't say that.
But you thought it.
I was thinking, let's discuss this later. Oh, my, look at that. Because I hadn't seen it before. So
that's some French patina. It's all the rage in Paris.
But I'm thinking about wallpaper. So I'm waiting on that for now.
Oh, how exciting. Mm-hmm. We're all on the edge of our seat for that. Okay, here's one that is very of now that is going to add value. Certainly livable value. And in that, I mean that you're staying in your home and you will love it. But for now, the collective conscience of people looking for homes, dressing rooms and lovely walk-in closets. Now, mm-hmm. I know you, Nita Jean, have a beautiful closet.
I'm actually in here right now.
Which is also a podcast studio. But, you know, that's a selling point if you happen to sell to a person who loves Kate Spade bags and podcasting.
I need to list it. That's right. Recording studio in the closet.
Exactly. Just put recording studio and then show it to them. It's a multi-purpose room.
Are those baffled walls or just clothing?
Just clothing. No, that's just the cashmere sweater section. So, yes. In the past, this probably would not have been a thing. Certainly, if you look at older homes and they have these dinky little closets and you can't put six hangers in, it really wasn't on the mind of people then. But now, it's ticking off all the keywords. It's ringing the bell for sanctuary. It's ringing the bell for wellness. It's ringing the bell for organization. And we are all about all those things right now in the home design realm. Real estate researchers say it's also going to add about 5% value to your home. Now, of course, 5% value, but you only will know how much you put into it. So again, that's where the good choices come in. You might not want to go to California Closets because it's going to cost a fortune and still look like it's melamine. You might want to have a carpenter come in and do something where it's very custom, but it's paint grade wood and you paint it and maybe you get some nice boxes like Anita has mentioned to us in the past, some beautiful boxes or some container store clear boxes that you can see all your things. This is really going to increase the value of your home right now. Of course, I can't see into the future that far, but I think that these trends are going to last for a long time. And imagine if you have a cramped closet right now, how wonderful it would be to be able to eke out a space where you can create a small room that you can walk into, maybe even have one of those center, dare I say, islands. You know, I don't like them mm-hmm. in the kitchen, but it would be right. Probably pretty great in your closet and drawers. And you could have your lavender sachets. Maybe you have a little lamp or a chandelier. Would be absolutely gorgeous. And I know if I was looking for a home now, I would be looking for something like that. I want to remind you that we are available for design consults. We take on your design dilemmas, questions, renovations, any project you want to talk about, any room, any space, we are here for you. And we really do enjoy doing these. And I think we've helped people a lot. So if you want to sign up for a consult, head to the link in the show notes. It's decoratingtipsandtricks.com/consult. We hope to talk to you soon.
Well, it's interesting you mention these closets because I love looking at homes. Who knows? At some point, I might find something I just have to have and move. Mm-hmm. But I do love looking at these new homes in Houston, and the new closets are incredible. They're really doing some stunning things with these beautiful closets, like you said, the island. doors. The clothes are put behind doors. They're really, really beautiful. And then when you see a house that doesn't have that, it doesn't have the same feel to it. You just don't feel like you're in that luxury space, whereas the nice closets do. And then, yeah, I mean, the island is wonderful because then you have the drawer space. We have a wall of drawers in the back, and so I don't need a dresser in our bedroom. And then the top, we have doors, and that behind the doors, I have shelves and shelves where I have my shoes. So it's nice that all that is behind doors and drawers, so you don't have to look at it. And then we ended up putting a table, really kind of a desk in the center with two chairs. So I'm kind of glad that we didn't do the island because it's a little more flexible, and you know how we love flexibility. But you could even put a dresser in the space if there was not already an island. So I think that's a great idea. You know, an interesting thing too that these younger buyers are looking for, and when I say younger, I mean Gen X and millennials, they are looking for smart home technology. So that's something that you can think about. I think things are definitely headed that direction. So if you can put in some system, or if you're building new, you ought to think about putting in some system where you can control the music in all the rooms and the lighting and the thermostats. That's pretty awesome to be able to do that. I've seen some new homes that actually have an iPad in the wall where you kind of connect it, and then that controls everything in the house. Pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. But I'm going to jump back into the closet for a minute, if mm-hmm. you don't mind. So I love the idea that you don't have to have a dresser in your bedroom. And that kind of makes the argument in a sense. Now, of course, anybody who's listening, everybody's room is a different shape. Their doorways are in different places. But these are just things to think about and then imagine in your space what you may be able to do. So this would be a situation where you could kind of reconfigure in the footprint that you have. So just say you have your main bedroom and maybe it's a nice large square or rectangle. Maybe there's a space where you could sort of carve something out. You could actually take part of the room and put up a divider and make a closet that doesn't exist. We were able to do that here, and I'll just briefly explain why. You walked into what was and what we were going to use as the main bedroom, and there was almost like an entryway, like a foyer, off to the right, this narrow space, and the previous owner just had two giant armoires in there. Mm-hmm. I ended up, of course, I didn't want to get rid of those, but I just had to close my eyes when they brought them down the stairs. I don't know how they got out of the space.
Wow.
But we used them out in the barn, and that was great. But then I had this space, which would have just been completely useless. I mean, I guess I could have put a dresser or something like that, but it would have been a lot of wasted space. So what we did was move the doorway over in the hallway, close that off, and that's what I made into my walk-in closet. Now, my nice. Walk-in closet is not huge. I don't think it's anywhere near the size of Anita's, which I've seen photos of. I think you actually showed it to me when I was visiting.
I think I did.
It's quite beautiful. It's worth looking at. But I have a dresser in there. I have low rod, a high rod. I have shelves all the way up to the top. And so I've really made good use of this space. And that was perfect for me because we had no closets in this house, really, none to speak of. So that was a great use of space. And it just took me a little while to sort of figure out how could we accomplish this. Another thing that you can do if you have a large enough home where there's an extra bedroom, maybe next to the main one, and perhaps that would be a guest room, or if your kid went to college or something or is now out on their own, maybe you don't need that bedroom. Maybe you can find a guest space someplace else, a different bedroom, or maybe a pullout somewhere. Maybe just go through that wall and take that space. If you don't have an ensuite bathroom, you could make that into a closet and bathroom situation. So think about the space that you have and how you can use it and how maybe you could add this beautiful luxury closet area and perhaps a small bathroom. That would be awesome. Something I read, which I thought was a great idea, is now, again, everybody's room is different. It may work or may not, but it might just get your juices going to start thinking about how you could implement this in your space. If you have a large enough main bedroom, you could, depending on where the windows are and all of that, make a headboard in a sense all the way across. So pull mm-hmm. the bed off the mm-hmm. the wall, create a headboard situation where it's really a wall, and you could have some storage sort of in it rather than the cabinets protruding, so they could go into that other space. And then a doorway, I would use probably a barn door or a pocket door. And then you could have a whole nother room behind your bed, in a sense. So you've actually carved the space out and made two spaces in it. And then either closet, bathroom, closet and bathroom combination, depending on how much space that you have. So how cool would that be? Because maybe there's some dead space. Sometimes I see these bedrooms, and while it would be lovely to have a giant chaise in my bedroom or a big bench at the end of the bed or a set of chairs or something like that, I'd much rather have a bathroom and a big walk-in closet if I didn't have those things.
No, that's a good point. And the smaller the room, the more I think it makes sense to put those built-ins. If it's big enough, then you can put furniture in there to hold it. But if it's super small, then it is nice to have that storage on the wall. So I think that's a great idea. Another idea, and this is going to really help sell your house if you're kind of ready to do that. And the funny thing is, it's not really changing anything about your house. But this is something that you talk about all the time, Kelly, and that is adding mirrors to your room. And I mean mirrors Ooh. That you would just take with you when you move. And why am I saying that? Because everyone wants a light, bright home. Mm-hmm. And the more mirrors in your house, the more it's going to reflect the light and the more it's going to appear light-filled. So that's a real trick of the trade, and I think that's great to do. Now, I'm hearing... from Zillow, that mirrored walls and ceilings are rising in popularity. But I am going to tell you, I have seen several houses like that, and I cannot tell you how yucky it felt. I do not like getting out of bed, walking past it every morning. I don't think so. Nobody wants to see that in the morning.
Or laying in bed and looking up. Oh,
No. I'm not sleeping in that room.
No.
That's got some bad juju. So anyway, but this is something you can do super cheap because guess what? You get to keep the mirrors, but it does make sense that that would really make a difference in the house.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Versailles was such a dump before they added those mirrors.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Yes. So I definitely, and on my list was natural light, which is in accordance with what you're talking about with the mirrors. Mirrors are going to help bounce around the natural light. I'm always saying that to clients because I'll say, I want to add a mirror in here. And they'll be like, I don't want to look at myself all day long. I'm like, girlfriend, it's not for you to look at yourself. Okay. It's to bounce the light around.
If it's just a mirror, you can avert your eyes. But if it's a whole wall, it's pretty hard not to see yourself. So you know, that's why I think a mirror you can train yourself to ignore. But I can't ignore myself walking past this whole wall. And there was one townhouse we looked at, and there were at least three places where they had a massive wall covered with mirrors. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to disagree with Zillow on that one. I don't think that. And plus, it would drive me crazy if there were fingerprints on it or something. I'd be all day with the, with the spray cleaner, right? All day long. So we've talked about lots of places. We talked about increasing square footage in various ways. We talked about bathrooms and walk-in closets and paint. Let's walk into the kitchen because we all know that is the heart of the home. And that's a place where people end up putting a lot of renovation mm-hmm. improvement dollars. And you want to make sure that you're going to get a return on that. What really makes me super sad is when people have lived with a dumpy kitchen for so many years.
Yes.
Then they decide they're going to sell their house, and then they're running around trying to get cabinetry at a reasonable price. That the stone countertops are so expensive. Let me see if I can just get a remnant or something. And they put something together. It's not inexpensive, but it doesn't look great. And maybe the stone is dated. And the person who's going to come and look at the home is going to say, I don't want to pay for that kitchen because I'm going to tear it out. and I'm going to create the kitchen of my dreams. Mm-hmm. So right. You have to be really careful here. And there are so many things that you can do to a kitchen to make it look much better if you're in the market. But here's the thing. If you're going to stay in your house for a long time and you have some money to spend on your home, I think the kitchen is a wonderful place to put it for the long term, for your long-term living there. You know, of all the things we've talked about today, where you're going to put some significant dollars in, I think the kitchen is a great place to do it so you can enjoy it. And then down the line, if you're going to sell the house, you're going to get some return on the investment. But you've already got the livability return on your investment because you've enjoyed it for X number of years. But please don't put yourself in this situation where you put up with a kitchen that you can't stand. It makes you sad for 10, 15, 20 years. And then you meet with a real estate agent and then you're running around trying to find countertops. Don't do that.
So true. I agree with you 100%. And I think people do this. There's problems with their house. Maybe it's a kitchen, something else. They're living with things in disrepair. Then they get ready to sell it. The realtor says, you've got to fix this thing. So you've got it, or you've got to redo the kitchen a little bit. Then they do all this. Then they say, you know what? Why am I moving? And you think, why didn't you do this 10 years ago? You could have been enjoying it all of this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's certainly something to think about. And you were talking about the bathrooms a little bit earlier. What about just some small improvements? Again, you don't usually have to rip everything out. If you're wanting to just increase the value of your home, you usually don't have to rip everything out. So, for example, in your bathroom, you can swap out dated lighting, maybe redo the countertop, re-caulk or reglaze the tub. Usually, it does not require a massive job to redo that, especially if you're planning to sell soon. I mean, there's so many little things that you can do even around your house, like buff out or refinish your hardwoods, replace dated lighting, dated ceiling fans, paint your front door. There's so many small things like that you can do. And if it is close to the point where you're going to sell, get a good realtor. A good realtor is going to be able to go around your house and tell you exactly what you need to do. And they're going to have someone that can come in and do that work quickly. If your realtor can't help you with that, you have the wrong realtor. So go find somebody who can help you with that.
A great tip right there. Back into the kitchen for a second. So Google's telling us that, you're not going to believe this number, that the search for kitchen home improvement, that search term, has increased in the last 12 months. So that's basically 2022. 4,545%.
Well, in a way, it doesn't surprise me because every day more people are finding Pinterest, they're finding Instagram, and they're seeing kitchens, stunning bathrooms, stunning homes. And they're saying, why doesn't my kitchen look more like this? I mean, and the kitchen is where you spend, I mean, for me, most of my time. So I think that's the first thing I look at and consider when I'm looking at a new home. So it doesn't surprise me that that's super popular. I don't know where these people were in 2021 or 2020, but I think, again, with social media, people are bombarded with pictures of beautiful homes. It's only going to increase and increase and increase that people are going to say, hey, there's something better out there, and I want that for mine.
Yes, and that increase plays into the tricky bit that we're talking about with the kitchen, right? So if somebody's that interested, or that many people are interested in kitchen home improvement, then they know kind of what they're looking for. And so they want certain things in their kitchen. But if you go and just slap together what you think is going to be a good kitchen just for the point of selling it, they already have their dream kitchen. They've been searching. They're not going to want your brown granite that you got on sale because nobody wants that anymore. And you just put in because you wanted to freshen up your kitchen, right? So yeah, it's a very tricky space. And the point being with the kitchen too is the fixtures are more permanent. I would venture to say that many people, although you did move from a house because you didn't like the paint color, so you're an outlier.
There were other issues.
I think there might be. But we love that. But most people are, they realize, it's just paint. You know, maybe I don't like the blue they picked, or the bedrooms are peach. Yeah, you know, I don't like that. They understand they can fix that pretty easily. But kitchen fixtures, countertops, cabinets, those choices are rather permanent. And people understand they're going to be paying for what you put in there. And people are not going to want to pay for your sort of great kitchen. All right. So if you've got a kitchen and which most people do, if you have a kitchen that needs some improving and you think maybe you're going to sell your house in the next few years, just do these things that Anita was just mentioning with regard to the bathrooms. Maybe change the faucet. Maybe paint the cabinetry. Maybe change a window. Maybe if there's a small door to the back of the house and you have a lovely yard, maybe make it a bigger door with side lights or a slider if possible. Mm-hmm. Add that deck that Zillow talked about. Do things like that that are going to change the feel of the room by either adding natural light or making it look really fresh and clean. And then people say, oh, this is fine. You know, I could live with this. And then I'm going to make my dream kitchen in a year or two. So that's how I would approach a kitchen if I was needed repairs and I was going to be moving, thinking about moving in the next couple of years. But if you're going to be in the house for the long term, make classic choices. You can't go wrong with that. I mean, we have endless episodes about how to create a beautiful classic kitchen. And so Anita maybe can link some of those in the show notes and you can check those ideas out. But you want to make good choices in there because they are pretty permanent.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And I speak as someone who has a farm that has that brown speckled granite countertop that I really would like to replace sometime soon.
Flooring. And that is actually one of the top returns on investment, is either refinishing your hardwood floor or putting in a new floor. And that is according to the Wall Street Journal. It unifies the space, cleans it up. Depending on the flooring that you choose, it can really add character to the home. It could give it a sense of grounding. Ha ha ha. Because it's got a little patina, you know, it might give an otherwise sort of spec home a different dimension if you've got really beautiful flooring. So that's something to really consider. And I know I love when a home is pretty much all the same flooring. You know, mm-hmm. Obviously you Me might too. Have something different in the bathrooms or maybe even in the kitchen, but it really does make the space feel bigger and unifies all the rooms.
Here's something interesting people do, and that is to convert a garage to a bedroom. We see that a lot when it's a neighborhood that has very small houses, maybe with a 2-bedroom, and they're wanting to get that, eke out one more bedroom, and they convert that garage to a bedroom. This, again, according to Zillow, this can add 10 to 20% to your house. However, would I buy a house that did not have a 2-car garage? No, I would not. But that's me. But I don't know, where do you put your lawnmower and all that other stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, that is something that's pretty tricky. You have to think it through. So if you took your kid's bedroom to make yourself a gorgeous walk-in closet and ensuite bathroom, and you have to put your kid in the garage, then where do you put the mower, right? Mm-hmm, maybe right. You don't have a mower. Maybe you have somebody who comes and mows. So yeah, you know, you have to think about how you live. Do you have a lot of tools? Or maybe you have just a broom and you could put that in a closet somewhere. So it may work for you. The thing about the garage conversion is some municipalities require that you had a usable for cars garage.
Wow.
And you had to have certain spaces based on the square footage of your home. In California, a lot of times people don't use their garage. I would say most people, unless you're like Jay Leno, you know, you're not really using your garage. You know, he has like 4,000 cars or something like that.
Right.
People are using their garages for other things. Now, during the early part of the pandemic, we made our garage into a gym, and I couldn't be happier with that. We never put the car in there anyway.
You did. Now, why did you not put your car in there?
Well, it's a very long driveway. It's always sort of, we're going out the next day in it and to pull it all the way in and pull it all the way out. We rarely did it. I think when we had, but and particularly before we got the electric car, we might have put it in there more. But now we have the charger is in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, so okay. I plug the car in there. So I don't even plug it in. Wouldn't even plugged it in the garage. The way we live, we'd like to work out all the time. We were going to the gym. Then you couldn't go to the gym anymore. And I said, hey, why don't we just do this?
Oh, right.
The space is still available if we ever sold the house and somebody wanted to use it as a garage. We could still do that. So that's kind of how I would advise that. If you think you want to have a little flexibility on it. Because maybe when you sell it, the other person wants to house their car in the garage, that you can still do it.
Very interesting. So I just found in my notes, going back to the master closet, did you know that according to Cambridge University, the average woman today buys 4 times more clothes than the average woman did 30 years ago? That's a stunning amount of clothing.
That's probably true because there's so many more options.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not that interested in buying a ton of clothes anyway. I mean, I really like buying just a few nice pieces, quality pieces. And I don't know. I think it's just becoming more disposable.
Well, there's so much more. Yeah, but that's exactly. It's so much more fast fashion.
Right.
You know, you go to Target for some paper towels and you end up with like a warm-up suit or something. I don't know, right? You're like, wow, I walked by and this thing was there and it was so cute. Now I have it. Mm-hmm. Utility room. Now, this can be many things, again, with the flexibility. So it can be a luxe laundry room, which that is very high on buyers' want list these days. And also, it could be a mudroom, or it could be a hybrid of both things. I don't see that those craft spaces and wrapping stations and all that that the bloggers used to do and set up, I don't know that that's going to be really the key to A, enjoying your home more, or B, selling it for more. But I think a beautiful laundry room that is very functional and place to maybe store kids' backpacks. And if you live in a place where there's weather, maybe for their boots, or a place where you can put your dog leashes and things like that. Along the dog line, I don't think those dog washing stations are, I think they're just too niche. You have to have a certain size dog, right? And like, what are you going to do with that if you don't have
wrap
a dog?
Wrap them in the wrapping paper then.
Exactly. Just all in them one space. So I think the Lux Laundry Room, in fact, Pinterest has said that it is a key search term for the luxe laundry room.
Oh,
according to their research, yes. An outdoor room. Anita, did we do an episode on ADUs? I feel like we did, or we talked about doing that.
You know, I would have to go back and check. I don't remember. We must have, though.
I think
500 episodes, there must be one somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. We've talked about just about everything. But I think that we talked about the ADUs before COVID. And now ADUs, I don't know if it's as a result of COVID or just the result that people are aging and living longer and sometimes moving in with their children who are also adults with children. So there's a lot of generations together. ADUs are becoming really popular. There's also the issue of not enough housing in a lot of cities. Mm-hmm. And so municipalities are now lessening the restrictions on creating a separate unit on your property somewhere. So that's something to look into. And it would be different than extending or going up or going down in your own footprint. So that would have its own benefits and drawbacks as well. But look into that, or some sort of little garden shed, maybe something that's a small little space that could be an office, something that's not attached to your own home. That's something else to think about. There are tons of kits and things that are available. There are even sheds that you can get from Lowe's or Home Depot that you can sort of trick out, you know, kind of like the way people are tricking out the Billy bookcases. People are tricking out these little sheds. I'm sure if you Google that, you could come up with tons of great ideas.
So true. That's such a great idea. We actually, when we built, went ahead and planned for a garage apartment. So there's an apartment above the garage that, of course, if you're adding that later, that's a big deal. It's very hard to add later. I think they have to tear the whole thing down and start over.
Oh, really? Oh, because the foundation maybe wouldn't hold it.
Right, right. You have to kind of know ahead of time. So I just thought I'm going to go ahead and build it in and then just not finish it at first. I just said, well, we'll decide later. But then within a year, I said, okay, finish it out. I want I want it. And we have used it so much. I had no idea how much that was going to be used. Our daughter Evie stays there when she comes back. We've used it as a work from home space. I've used it. It used to be my old recording studio. And, you know, Kevin's used it to work in. So it has been such a valuable space. And really, I feel like one of the best decisions that we made on this house.
Well, that is a good note to finish the topic on. So what are we defining today?
I had so much fun with the transferware that today I thought we'd talk about chipsware. Well, dishes.
Pretty soon we're just going to be talking about dishes, okay? We all see it coming.
I'm just working it in delicately here and there. So, but it's an interesting topic because it's such a distinctive look, this chintzware. It's china or pottery covered with a dense all-over pattern of flowers. So it's similar to a chintz textile pattern. So you've seen, you know about probably a chintz fabric. So chintzware is a pottery or dishes that has this pattern that's just very dense. And it's just so cheery and beautiful and very unique. Most dishes don't look like this. The main firms making chintzware were English. Some of the most famous producers were Royal Winton, James Kent, Lord Nelson, and Crown Ducal. And they were mostly produced between 1920 and the 1960s. But in 1996, three books were published all at the same time that made chintzware super hot in the 90s. So Royal Winton and James Kent began making these pieces again. And then, I don't know if you remember, in 1998, Victoria Magazine started offering numbered pieces in the Welbeck pattern in the ascot shape to their readers. And it was in every issue. Do you remember seeing those?
I don't remember seeing that, but I could totally picture them doing that. And that's such a sort of like a throwback. I remember when, you know, depression glass was given out at gas stations and stuff?
Oh,
like,
yes. Oh,
that's
yes.
kind of interesting. Okay. I mean, not that you remember like you were there, but
My dad worked for Philips. And so all of the stuff that got handed out, we ended up with it, you know, those things. So yeah, we had Philips 66 glasses that were kind of had the starburst on them. And I mean, they didn't say Phillips on them, but yeah, I had all that stuff. So yeah, I know all about that. But yeah, this was kind of a very cheery pattern. And anyway, I actually have some of those Welbeck pieces. I didn't get them from Victoria Magazine, but I bought them, I think, in TJ Maxx in the 90s. And they were even still expensive there, but they're really beautiful pieces. There were some Czech and Japanese manufacturers too. I actually recently, a couple of years ago, bought some Czech chintzware pieces at the Guild, which sells a lot of vintage pieces here in Houston. It's a thrift store, but it's a very high-end thrift store. And they have the dish room. It's full of silver and dishes.
That's your mecca.
Oh, it's so fun to go in there. Anyway, so sometimes they have some of these pieces. But anyway, that's what chintzware is. It's still beautiful. And you know, some of those pieces are still very expensive if you get them. And I mean, the original pieces, you mm-hmm. know, not the reproduction. I don't want to call them reproduction, but the ones from the 90s mm-hmm. wouldn't be worth as much as the ones between the 20s and the 60s. But they can be very, very pricey depending on the pieces. So you can find them still on eBay. And Etsy.
It's a very cheery pattern, or you know, generalized mm-hmm. pattern. Really lovely. Good to know. Okay. Now, no one will confuse transferware with chintzware who listens to DTT. My crush has to do with the garden. I love garden books, and some of them I just love to have on the shelves because they're beautiful or they're vintage, but some of them are great resources. And this particular one is a great resource for where we are today. In our gardens, we're all dealing with climate change. I am sitting here recording with Anita, and it is hailing outside in Southern California. I don't know if that's just a freaky thing, but it feels like the weather's changing a little bit, and it's definitely been colder lately. I'm thinking maybe even next year I might try peonies if we keep getting these cold snaps, because I might be able to grow them, whereas normally it would not get cold enough for them here. So a book like this one, The Climate Change Garden, will help you figure that all out. It's down-to-earth advice for growing a resilient garden in our current climate, or as our climate is changing. So it's all about working with the natural world to create a productive, low-maintenance, I like that, and climate-savvy garden that's capable of standing strong against the effects of climate change. Obviously, gardening and weather are inextricably tied, and the things that you have planted or known you could plant and would do well may not do well anymore, but maybe there'll be other things that you could try. Like maybe I can try those peonies someday. So I will put the link in the show notes to The Climate Change Garden.
So my crush are some super cute leopard print hand towels I found at World Market. And they're kind of a gray and tan color, and they have some texture to them. Really charming. $9.99 a piece, and I got some for our powder room downstairs so our guests can enjoy them. They're really charming.
Oh, I love animal print. Always in style.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. And remember, we're here to inspire you to create a beautiful home. Until next time.